If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to give a little instructions before I get into this word. You know, when the word comes forth and we're speaking the word, it's to build you up, to encourage you, to comfort you, amen, not to destroy you. But the only time we are destroyed is when we do not employ it. To employ it means to put it to use. Amen? The word will not return unto him void. It'll accomplish what he sent it to do if we apply it. Okay? It's like the paint in the wall. Unless the paint comes out of the bucket and is applied on the wall, there's no transformation to the wall. The wall is never going to change until the paint is applied. And what God is saying to us in his word is nothing's going to change without application. I was reminded of something this morning when I was praying here. And I kept hearing the Spirit say it, and he said it over and over and over again. I kept hearing 1 John 3:7. He said, "Little children, be not deceived. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous." Wait a minute. "Be not deceived. He that doeth righteousness is righteous as he is righteous." In other words, the word has to be applied to our lives, and then we become the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's just not this automatic package that we get. We got the package. We got the forgiveness. We got the deliverance, we get the freedom, but at the same time, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So as we're going forth in this message today, look with me in 2 Corinthians 13, and we'll begin to read at verse number 3. The word of God says, the apostle Paul says, "Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates, or reject it. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates, or rejected. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth." And the title of this morning's message is An Appeal to Deal. Amen. And what I'm talking about dealing with, when the word goes forth, let the word deal with you. Well, let me say something else. He is the great physician. Amen. I am not. It's him that examines. God didn't send me to examine you. That's right. He's the physician. I'm not. I'm just a messenger. So if you don't like the message, take it up with the Father, not the messenger. So many times people get a misunderstanding. I'm going to go here because the Holy Spirit told me to. So many times people get angry at the pastor that comes in to be a mediator between parties. Amen. I'm representing other people. I'm trying to bring peace between the parties. I'm not the enemy. I'm just a mediator. Don't beat up the mediator. Don't get mad at the mediator. Amen. So the three things we want to look at today is, one, the examining, two, the experiencing, and three, the excluding. Are you with me today? Can we lift our word and come into agreement? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. it will never be the same. Lord, speak to me. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank you, Father God, for your word. And I pray today as this word goes forth, that it flows through the love of God. Your love poured out to the children that you love. No matter where they're at, no matter what state or where they're at in their walk with you, that you have a plan and you have a purpose for each and every life. So, Father God, may your love penetrate their hearts today in a supernatural way, and we'll never cease to give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. First, we're going to look at the examining. Wait a minute. The apostle said, examine yourselves that you're in the faith. Prove yourselves. In other words, God doesn't tell us to examine anyone else. The apostle says, examine yourselves. Amen. And so many times when we hear a word, we say, oh boy, that's for someone else. That's not for me. Usually when we say it's for someone else, it's really for us. But usually why we say it's for someone else, because there's something the Holy Spirit wants to deal with in our life, and we don't want to allow it to be ministered to. Amen. But God is the healer. He is the comforter, the helper, the Almighty God, and he's here to do a work. So when we're looking at first the examining, and when God's examining, he's looking at your heart. The Word of God says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. And I was looking at that in the weeping prophet Jeremiah and the Lamentations of Jeremiah in Lamentations chapter 3. Verse number 40. The prophet said, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto the God in the heavens. Amen. In other words, Lord, I'm wide open. Let your will be done in my heart and life today. Amen. You know, God wants to do a work in every one of us. Amen. He says that he that's begun a good work is faithful to see it through to completion. And God never starts something he doesn't finish. Amen. Amen. And just because he began something, there's other stuff he wants to do in our hearts and lives. But remember, there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. God isn't sending his word to condemn anyone. Amen. He comes in love and compassion. And if there's condemnation, it's not from him. Amen. So he says for us, and we're getting ready to partake of Holy Communion. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul says this, just to remind us, in verse 26, he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or many die. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life and through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what God is saying here today, there is not one person that's in this room that's without sin of some sort in their life. There's not one person. God is saying, before you partake of the communion, examine yourself to make sure that Christ is in you and you are in Christ. Amen? Amen. What we're doing is we're recognizing the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the price that was paid for our redemption and our salvation. So he tells us, the apostle says in Galatians chapter 6, one of the things that he wants us to, as we're examining ourselves, that we're in the faith, proving ourselves, is one of the greatest things is how we're treating others and what we're doing for the benefit of others. You know, the apostle says in Galatians 6:1, he says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall we have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Amen. And you know, when he's talking about approving ourselves, where the proof is in the pudding. Amen. We're letting our light so shine before men that they're seeing our good works, and they're giving the Father in heaven all the glory. Amen. So he said, examine yourselves that you're in the faith. Prune your own self. That's the examining. Then he says this. Know your own selves. Know not your own selves, that Christ is in you. And I have here, this is the experiencing of Christ being in you. Yeah, you know, when Christ truly is in your life as a child of God, amen, all of a sudden there's a transformation that takes place in your life. We don't continue in the same route. We're going in a whole new direction. I was going down life's highway this way, and when I repented and turned to the Lord, I had to turn around and follow him. I didn't go the same direction anymore. Because he has greater plans than me, than for me and for you, than what we saw when we were in darkness. He's bringing us in the light. And we, you know, he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. In other words, we're here because we need each other, and we want to help each other, and we want to encourage one another. Amen. And everybody in this room is going through something in their life, and every last one in the room needs a measure of encouragement. Amen. Amen. All of us need some motivation. Amen. All of us need some encouragement. Amen. And all of us need up for one another. This is a big old pepper rally. We gather in like they do in high school, where they gather for the pepper rally to get excited about a game that's coming. We need to be excited about the Christ that's coming back for his bride and get excited in the house of God. Amen. There's nothing wrong with being excited for Jesus. I was excited for a lot of other things in the world, and I'm going to be more excited about Jesus. Hallelujah. But the Apostle Paul gives us some instructions on the experiencing. Look with me in Galatians chapter 2. Verse number 20. The Apostle Paul says this, "I am crucified with Christ." What did the crucifixion do? What did Jesus do on the cross? What did he do? He died. I am crucified with Christ. The old man is dying. He says, "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ which liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Little children, be not deceived. For whosoever doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous." We're not frustrating the grace of God. "For by grace we're saved by faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But now as a new creation in Christ Jesus, I'm becoming the image of Christ Jesus." I'm looking a little bit more like him every day. Amen? I'm pretty handsome, aren't I? I'm a legend in my own mind. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, I tell you what, this morning I woke up and I've had a lot of these birthdays. Today is my 67th birthday, and I'm excited that I felt good. Hallelujah. I thank God for all that He's done. Amen. He is always doing something else for me and for you, and sometimes we forget all He's done. So many times we start looking at for the next thing, and we forgot what He's already done. And if we don't forget what He's already done, I can receive what He has for me now. Amen. All of a sudden, my faith starts increasing, and when my faith increases, the devil has to come relieve my faith. Amen. Because he doesn't have any room above me. He's below me. I have to keep him underneath my feet. Amen. I have to know that I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. It's His strength that is made perfect in my weakness. So I recognize that He's got a lot of power, and He's in me, and He's in you, and we overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. What are you saying? Say, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Hallelujah. Somebody with me? I don't know if you recognize it or not, but that's some really good teaching. You know why I know it's some really good teaching? Because it came from the Holy Ghost. Amen? Because it's coming to you from the Lord. Because it's God's word, not mine. Amen? So the apostle says to you and I in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 27. He says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Amen. So the John the Beloved writes in 1 John chapter 3. We're looking at knowing ourselves. We're experiencing this newness of life. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. So he says to us in verse 23. And this is the commandment, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. You know, when I look at that, every time I'm going the wrong direction, the Holy Spirit tells me I'm going the wrong direction. Hello? Amen? And sometimes we don't understand why some people go south when they were heading north. You know, one of the things he says in this text today, he says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. The examining, it's a self-examination. He says, know ye not your own selves that Christ is in you. That's the experiencing. But then he says, except ye be reprobates or be rejected, that's the excluding. The excluding. So when I was looking at that, he took me to Romans chapter 1. So let's go to Romans 1. And he reminds us what happens in verse 28. And he was talking about they gave themselves over to flesh. There was men with men and women with women, and they were all confused, okay? There was mass confusion. And he says in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Amen. Now he's talking about, he said, except ye be reprobates. Now what is he saying? Examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves that Christ is in you. You're a new creation. Christ is in you. Except you be reprobates. In other words, unless I allow Christ to do a work in my life. Amen. Amen. God wants to do something in our hearts and lives. He's always at work. You know, I've shared with you before, and I'll share with you again, ever learning but never fully coming to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Amen. Every time I think I've arrived, every time I think I go somewhere, the Lord opens up another door in my house. Hello? And I say, wow, man, how could I miss that? So I'm not looking at junk in anyone else's trunk. But if there's junk in your trunk, it's between you and him. Amen? So he says to us, when we recognize this and we see this taking place in the world that we're living in, he reminds us in Romans chapter 8 that we're not dealing with people, with the personal. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Amen? And we have to understand that their flesh is a big monster. How many got a lot of flesh? Amen? He says, he reminds us in Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. What did they start with? What did the apostle say? I am crucified with Christ. In other words, the old man along the line, we've got to let the old man die so the new man can be resurrected in our lives. Amen. Amen. And truthfully, we have many years of the old man. Amen. And we just don't get over him in a moment. Amen. Amen. It's a battle to the end. So he tells us, the Apostle Paul, writing to his student with this in mind, the reprobate mind, he says in Titus chapter 1, verse number 15. He's reminding his student. And when I look at the Apostle Paul writing to his students, it's like God's speaking to us as his students. We're all students of the gospel. We're all studying to show ourselves approved, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. And we should know the truth, and it's the truth that shall make us free. Amen. So God isn't sending his word to anyone to condemn anyone in the house. He's here spreading his love to you and shows you that he has many better things for you than what the adversary is making look good to you. And even though they feel good to the flesh, they're causing damage to your spirit and to your soul. Amen. And how many know that there's a lot of things that the world offers that feels really good to our flesh? Amen? Amen? But God gives us some things that feed our flesh and our spirit both. Amen? So he says in Titus chapter 1, verse number 15, he said, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Listen to me. Even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and do every good work reprobate. Now, the Apostle Paul is telling us and warning us and warning his student that what's taking place. And so what the Lord is saying to us He's saying for us to examine ourselves, whether we're in the faith, prove our own selves, know our own selves, that Christ is in us except we be reprobates. In other words, he is saying we're the experiencing, I mean, the not the experiencing, the examining, the experiencing the new life, so that we're not excluded. And this comes by exercising. Now, guess what? Don't everybody run. I'm not asking, but I'm saying exercising. I'm not asking you to do a workout today. Hello? What I'm speaking in the exercising is exercising the word. Exercising is to put it to practice in our lives. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writing to his student Timothy. Verse number 7. The word of God says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach." Amen. So what God is saying to you is, this isn't coming from Pastor Carl, it's coming from his word. And God's calling for us, in closing today, to examine ourselves. And if you're not experiencing the newness of life, go back to the cross. Amen. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. And if I am not experiencing the new life in Christ Jesus, maybe I need to get on my face before the Lord and say, "Lord, be the Lord of my life and not just my Savior. I need to die to my flesh to be resurrected in you. Lord, I need to be, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me." Hallelujah. So as we do that, it keeps us from being excluded. I don't know about you, but I already know, and you know, amen, and what the adversary tries to see, my salvation is a no-so mentality. If I walk around with a think-so mentality, the adversary is going to beat me up every time. Amen. I've got to have an attitude of gratitude and knowing that God has called me by my name. He has called you by your name. He has not changed his plans concerning you. The call of God is irrevocable and it does not change. You may have gotten off the path, but the Spirit of God draws you back because he has a plan and purpose in your life, and he will not change his mind concerning you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you got involved with, his grace and mercy is flowing to you today. And God would not have you here today if he was not speaking to you. God would not have you here today. He knew everyone that would be here, and he wants you to know that he has a plan and purpose for you. And the adversary has tried to distort it and bring confusion into it. And God is a God of order, and he does everything decently, and he does it in order. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says for us today to examine ourselves, to experience the resurrected life in Christ Jesus, so that we're not excluded. This comes by exercising God's word and expressing it to others. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish something in every heart of every believer. So, Father God, as we're closing this service today, today was a day about examining ourselves. So, Father, as you're speaking to every heart and every life, as we gather to take communion, as you speak to their hearts and their lives, Father God, may they be receptive to what you say to them, and may they act upon it. Father God, It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. Have your way in every heart and every life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like for you to come and join me around the altar. We're going to partake of communion together, the broken body and the shed blood. And if you can't stand, come up to the front row and sit so we can serve you. Thank you.